Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Francisco, su nombre Francisco.
Su nombre Francisco es el primer papa de América Latina, el cardenal Bergoglio.
Argentino.
Y muy emocionante para América Latina, Jorge Bergoglio, de 77 años de edad.
Well, you recognize the word Bergoglio, even if you don't speak Spanish right. How about Francisco? Francis, that is, Pope Francis, the excited announcement of the new pope's selection as reported on Univision. So let's talk about race, class, and the new pope. Is it accurate to call him the first Latino pope because he's from Latin America? We'll start from there and take calls from Latino listeners for two guests. Latino listeners, what does an Argentinian pope mean for you or for Hispanic religious identity? 212-433-WNYC. You can call in right now, 212-433-9692. Any Argentinians in the audience? Anybody else? Just any Latino Catholic who is responding to this kind of in that category? 212-433-WNYC. Call us right up. You'll get right on. 212-433-9692. And with me now are Cecilia Gonzalez-Andreu, Assistant Professor of Theological Studies at Loyola Marymount University. That's a Jesuit school, by the way. And James Martin, Father James Martin, a Jesuit priest, culture editor of America magazine, author of The Jesuit Guide to Almost Anything. Maybe you know him as the official priest of the Colbert Report. So, Father Martin, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you. Great to be here.
And Professor Gonzalez-Andreu, welcome to WNYC. Hello from New York.
Thank you. Glad to be here, too.
And, Professor, we're all saying the first Latin American pope, but not everybody's saying the first Hispanic pope or Latino pope, really. Would that be inaccurate in this case because he's the son of Italian parents who happened to move to Argentina?
Well, there's so many complexities in this. Latino is really a term that we use in the United States, and mainly actually on the western part of the United States, to talk about people of Hispanic heritage, Latino heritage, in the United States. So that's kind of what that means. And so Latin American, I think, absolutely would qualify. Even, you know, he is the son of immigrants, but then a lot of Latin Americans are. And so he is a Latin American. He's from the mother country for those of us that are in the United States, so from Latin America. And yet he's also only one generation removed from the old country or the old world, which is, of course, Europe. So we've got three steps here.
Right. And so, Father Martin, if the Cardinals were tilting toward Latin America with this choice, or Latinos in the U.S. for that matter, would you say they did it in the tamest possible way, choosing someone with Italian parents and an Italian name and an Italian look? You know, if you saw this guy on the street and you thought, oh, white, black, Hispanic, or Asian, you'd say white. Do you think that matters to people either in the Vatican politically, in Europe generally, or in Latin America?
Well, I think everything matters to people in the Vatican in that sense. They were certainly trying to reach out to Latin America. There was a lot of speculation that this would be the first pope from the Southern Hemisphere. I think that's very significant because the center of gravity of the Catholic Church has really shifted to the Southern Hemisphere. That's where all the growth is going on. And, you know, they're also looking to a pope who's coming from a country where there's been a lot of evangelization of different sorts. I mean, that's Argentina and much of Latin America is dealing with sort of outreach from Protestant evangelical fundamentalist groups. And so, you know, they probably look for someone who's saying to himself, what can we learn from these other groups in terms of evangelizing?
And, Professor, do you see the selection of Pope Francis as meaningful in terms of race or class, not just Argentinian nationality?
You know, I'm waiting to hear him. I want to see what his priorities are because I think much further than any kind of identity, we're gonna need to hear what his priorities are regarding race and class. So, I want to hear his relationship to issues of poverty, his relationship to issues of immigration, how he's going to speak about those, and then that will give us a much better sense. You know, we're getting a lot of anecdotal information about his the way that he lived and his own desire to live with and speak with the poor. I think the name of Francis, of course, as has been written a lot about, does signal a desire for simplicity and maybe for deconstructing some of those race class divides.
Let's take a phone call. Johnny in Queens, you're on WNYC. Johnny, thank you for calling in.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Technically speaking, yes, I do believe he is the first Latino pope. And I have to say that I disagree with your guess in terms of that Latino is a term from the West. Simon Bolivar from Latin America. We say Latin in English, but in Spanish is Latino America. So much so that all over Latino America, they say Latino. Even the people who you had in the recording at the beginning of the introduction, they said el primer Papa de Latina,
yes.
America, Latino America. They even said it in Spanish themselves.
Right.
And so I just want to say that I disagree with her when she says that they only say that in the West. They actually say that all over Latino America. Mm. They call themselves Latino. And I do technically believe that he is Latino, while I agree with her that it's ambiguous because, culturally speaking, he was just born there this generation. That I do agree with.
Thank you very much, Johnny. I appreciate it. I want to go right on to Manuel in Ossining. Manuel, you're on the air. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning, sir. Always a pleasure to listen to your program and to talk to you again.
Thank you.
I'm a Cuban man. I was born and raised in Cuba. My family was not from Italy. My family came from France in the late 1700s. But I'm very happy to have a Latino or a Hispanic pope, whatever you want to call him. We have the word Hispanic here in this country too much. But I think we needed to get away from Europe. I think that we are representatives of a large number of Catholics, and we're part of the world. And I think it was time that we reached out to somebody who's not a European person to be pope, and I'm delighted. I am somewhat taken aback that he rode the bus and stopped at a hotel to pay his bill and pick up his clothes. I think he's not used to being pope just yet. I think it's going to be a wonderful thing. I mean, he's a little the more radical, I should say the word radical, more of the old times. He grew up with John Paul II, who was very strong. But I think he'll see that there are some changes that need to be done in the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church has to offer other things besides strict religious, you know what I mean. And we live in the 21st century, and we have to accept certain changes.
Manuel, thank you very much. And, you know, Father Martin, we get so much conversation from our listeners, which, you know, granted in this area includes a lot of liberal Catholics, about how the church has allowed priests to get away with molesting children but won't allow consenting adults to make love except, you know, in Rome's narrow vision of what's acceptable in the eyes of God, and gender issues, what women are allowed to do. So do you think that this pope is cognizant of those issues? And obviously he's not going to come out on day one and say, okay, you know, we're throwing out the old kind of social issues. But do you see any sign that this is something he feels he has to grapple with in a new way?
Well, it depends on the issue. I think the last two issues in terms of, I think you mentioned women's ordination and celibacy.
Homosexuality.
Homosexuality, things like that. I don't think you're going to see any change from Pope Francis, because he was very strong on those things in Argentina as the Archbishop of Argentina, when he had a lot of freedom to talk about those things. On sex abuse, however, I think you're going to see a very strong person. I think one of the things that the cardinals really had to know this time, I think in a way that was much deeper than in 2005 when they elected Benedict, was that they must appoint someone who can attack this directly. And frankly, I know he's a brother Jesuit, and I know from my Jesuit brothers, this is a man who is not afraid to take strong decisions and ruffle some feathers. And I hope he does, you know, and I hope he sort of demands accountability.
And Cecilia, you told us that some of the most – you told us off the air that some of the most progressive Latin American priests have been Jesuits, and not just Jesuits, but Jesuits of European descent. Who did you have in mind, and how does that relate to who this pope might turn out to be?
Well, certainly. I was thinking of course, of the Jesuits in El Salvador, who were some of the great progressive theologians who were murdered during the war in El Salvador. They were Europeans, and yet, you know, they spoke from and about the people and poverty and the issues of Latin America. And I'm also thinking about the Jesuit general, Father Pedro Arrupe, who would have been his superior when now our Pope Francis became a Jesuit, and would have probably helped him and nurtured. And of course, I have no information about this, so Father Martin may correct me on this. But Father Arrupe was a Spaniard and one of the great, amazing voices for justice in the world. So I have a lot of hope, actually, that that's the generation that he comes from.
Angela in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Angela.
Hello. I would like to say that, I'm from Latin America. I'm from Colombia. I live in the U.S. And I think the Pope we consider to be from Latin America. I think the feeling generally is the celebration, but I also think that it's a good thing that his parents are from Italy, because it can get the best of both worlds and can be a celebration for Italians and Europeans as well. And also, he has done his work, most of his work in his whole life in Argentina. And I think he was born there, and even we don't consider him only from Argentina. It's a general celebration in every country in Latin America.
So best of both worlds for you, Angela. Thank you very much. Rafael in Newark, you're on WNYC. Hello, Rafael.
Good morning. How are you?
Okay. What do you think?
Well, I would like to say that to a certain extent to those of us of Catholic religious inclination, and I would say to a certain extent Christians in general, these will probably come as a festive occasion and a wonderful occasion. The fact of the matter is that you don't want an institution like the church, the Catholic Church, to be headless for an extended period of time. There are too many issues that need to be attended to. But I think that there is something more perhaps telling about this situation. Latin America, or for that matter, the America as a whole, it is a land of immigration, of immigrant. And in fact, Europeans have had the tendency, particularly Latin-oriented Europeans, have had the tendency of the America of becoming where they land, as opposed to, for instance, the Brits, who didn't come to America to become. They came to America to conquer, to take, and to take back home. And so they did. So the legacy in relation to the ethnic and cultural legacy is not as strong, for instance, as the Spaniards are in Latin America. And so when you talk about whether this Pope is Latin American or not, let us be mindful that Latin Americans are also of European descent.
Rafael, I'm going to leave it there, and thank you very much. And, Professor, on that point, when people in the U.S. think of someone from Latin America, I think we usually think of a Hispanic or Latino, like someone from Mexico or Puerto Rico or the Dominican, probably of some mixed descent with varying degrees of Spanish, of Native American, of African. Does it have a different meaning identity-wise in Argentina?
Well, Argentina is, you know, has that very strong Italian population and also German. And so, I mean, your caller was very, very correct. Europeans, and my father-in-law, as you noticed in my name, my father-in-law was French. He ended up going to Venezuela. He married a Nicaraguan woman, and they have my husband, who's Venezuelan, who's married to me. And so,
and that's how your Gonzalez-Andrew.
Exactly. Exactly, exactly. And my father-in-law said he came to La America and he was going to become part of Latin America. And his Spanish was flawless and wonderful. And he really made an effort. So I think that we are a very, very mixed group of people across the entire American continent. And I like the fact that Pope Francis's election is allowing us to talk about this.
Father Martin, are you feeling a real sense of pride as a Jesuit around there? You're doing a little, you know, hey, first Jesuit fist bump with your friends and colleagues?
Absolutely. I always say I'm as proud as a Jesuit who's supposed to avoid pride can be. Yeah, it's really fantastic. And I didn't think it would ever happen. There were a number of reasons why I thought a Jesuit pope would never step out on that balcony. But we are kind of bursting with pride.
I've seen some confusion in the press about whether he chose his name for St. Francis of Assisi or St. Francis Xavier.
Right.
Do you know for sure? And do those two St. Francis's symbolize different things if we're looking for what the new pope was trying to say with his choice of a name?
Well, the Vatican has said that he has chosen it because of Francis of Assisi. But, you know, Francis Xavier, you know, the great Jesuit saint, is certainly someone who influenced him. And a Jesuit friend of mine, which is very funny, it's a kind of proprietary thing, when I told him that the Vatican had said it was Francis of Assisi, the Jesuit friend said, well, we'll wait to see what the Pope has to say about that. You know, if he's smart, he'll say Francis of Assisi, Francis Xavier, Francis de Sales, and all the Francises he can remember.
Professor, before you go, I just want to read from a Time magazine article out now called Why the Election of Pope Francis is Important for Latin America and get your reaction to this. It says, in Latin America, Catholics are losing worshipers to evangelical congregations, and the numbers suggest a not-so-slow erosion. Catholics comprised 81% of Latin America's population in 1996, and Protestants made up just 4%, according to the polling site Latino Barometro. By 2010, Protestants had jumped to 13% of the population, while Catholics jumped to 70%, plummeted to 70%. And then it goes on to say, even self-acclaimed Catholics across the entire region are identifying not just as Catholics, but also as born again. What do you make of all that?
Well, it's certainly a complex situation, which we're also seeing in the United States among Latinos here. And for me, I'm a Christian Catholic theologian, and I'm just happy that they want to follow Christ. So I tend to be very happy just to keep people within the fold of Christianity. Yes, I think that the Catholic Church in the Hispanic world needs some revitalizing. Like I said, I can't wait to hear Pope Francis preach in Spanish and to see what the reaction is, not just in Latin America, but among our millions and millions of Latino Catholics in the United States. There's something about being able to speak and hear your own language and to have someone share your worldview, and I want to see what energy that brings to us.
And I want to thank you, Cecilia Gonzalez-Andreu, Assistant Professor of Theological Studies at Loyola Marymount University. And I know you have to go, and we'll just finish up here with Father Martin. I'm curious, as a Jesuit, do you like the portrayal of Jesuits in the press these last few days? For many non-Jesuits and non-Catholics who never really thought about it very much, I think generally being portrayed as one of the more intellectual as well as progressive orders of the church. Do you embrace that?
Yeah, I do. I think that's fair. I think it's been a great, as we say, teaching moment, you know, for the Jesuits in terms of who we are and what we do. And I always laugh to say, you know, that the popular conception is that, you know, each Jesuit, you know, has like five PhDs, and I don't have any, so I'll take that compliment. But I've been very happy, and just as a Jesuit, we're all extremely proud.
Here is Deborah in Washington Heights, born in Argentina. Right, Deborah?
Yes, I was. However, I also came here as a political exile with my family. And maybe the Jesuit can explain this because, I mean, as I understand it, the new pope really is a right-wing zealot. And he has he was complicit with the military. He opposed all kinds of, you know, social legislation, particularly in terms of gay rights and rights for women, and he follows very much along the lines of the last pope. So The one thing that I also wanted to say, though, is that his being the son of immigrants, to me, is a non-issue, because Argentina is a country of immigrants. And I think that in Argentina, you know, he totally is considered an Argentine. So on that level, you know, I see him as definitely Latin American. But on the other issues, I'm really, really concerned.
Thank you. Father Martin, a last thought.
Yeah, it's a very complicated history. He was, in fact, the Jesuit provincial and then the archbishop during Argentina's dirty war, and there were a lot of accusations leveled at him. But I was just reading a press conference from the Vatican that said that he has been cleared, and actually he also issued an apology for the actions of the church. But that's something that will certainly become more and more sort of focused on in the days to come.
Well, we're going to have to wait and see what the Pope does in his own words, in his own actions. Pope Francis still probably trying to get over the shock of being selected, which apparently he did not expect. And we thank Father James Martin, a Jesuit priest, culture editor of America Magazine, and author of books including The Jesuit Guide to Almost Everything. Oh, by the way, I mentioned earlier that some people know you as the official priest of the Colbert Report. Has your friend Stephen offered you any reaction to this? You've been in touch?
He has. I guess I can say this. He suggested that since it was Pope Francis, that maybe birds should be added to the papal seal. So we'll see if the Pope is listening to Stephen Colbert.
Father Martin, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, how the GOP is divided on how to appeal to young people. We'll hear competing sound bites from the Conservative Political Action Conference. Stay with us.